that doesn't put a fire in you, your wood's wet. Amen. Baptists are scared of emotions, you know. Boy, that was good. Thank God for it. Beautiful thought. Take your Bibles, please, now. It's time for the preaching of the Word of God. Psalm 86 and verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15. We're preaching a series of messages on heaven. And today I want to talk to you about the little children. What happens to little children? What happens to the little children that die before the age of accountability? What does the Bible have to say about that? You know, the Bible has the answer for all of the questions that are important, doesn't it? It's the Word of God. Psalm 86, one verse, which states the general principle of God, shows us and reminds us of His character. And this is why I think He does what He does in relationship to little children. Verse 15, but Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. A God full of compassion. Thank God He is. Gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. I remember one occasion a number of years ago when I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, visiting with a couple that they were expecting twins. They'd been told that it was twins. And I can remember as we were waiting for the babies to arrive that they both were born twins. And I can also remember when daddy came out, and they had told him that the babies had passed away. And he brought both of them out, and he had one with a little bitty stocking on its head, and it was really a sock, just a small sock, on one head, and then the other little baby, another little sock, and had them wrapped up. What do you say to somebody at a time like that? What kind of words do you give them? Where did the babies go? What happened to them? I can remember going to the cemetery there, sort of east of Connersville, Indiana, and we had a burial service there, and a little funeral for them. And many people attended that. But people would say, well, what happened? Are they in heaven? Where are they? What takes place? And I can tell you, I want to give you today at least four reasons why I believe that they went to heaven. Yes. When they passed away, that they went to be with the Lord. And the first one is, and it reflects this verse, and that is the character of God. The character of God. Many times in the Bible, God is called Father. And I believe He likes that term or that statement of endearment when we call Him Father. Because it makes a statement to us. In Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again under fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that a sweet term, a sweet word? Father, Father. And God wants us to think of Him as our Heavenly Father. That's borne out throughout the Word of God. But I believe that is a clue to us as to how God feels about little children. Father. A Father that loves little children. The psalmist said in 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Because of that, and because God is a God of mercy and love, I believe that God never judges unjustly. Therefore, He is not going to judge little children with a negative judgment and a harsh judgment of little children that do not know better and do not have the knowledge of right and wrong and have not come to that age of accountability. Some people say that adults, because they have not heard the gospel, are not accountable. But that's not what the Bible says. There's a major difference there. Any adult that has come to that age of accountability is accountable. That's why we believe in missions. And we believe that Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for instance, says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says that people around the world are without excuse if they are the age of accountability, the adults, and those that have come to that place. In Psalm 19, the psalmist so beautifully taught us that the sun and the moon and the stars were testimonies and witnesses to God. And he said, as a matter of fact, they are witnesses that can go where nobody else goes. They are witnesses. The sun shines all over the earth, and the moon shines all over the earth, and the stars can be seen anywhere from the earth. And so they are testimonies that there is a God, so that nobody is without excuse. But babies are different, because little babies do not have that knowledge. Little babies cannot understand those things. Whenever the children of Israel went into the promised land, you remember that God did not hold the little children accountable. He did a generation of people who had rebelled against him, but he did not hold those children accountable. Deuteronomy 1:39. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. He says there's a difference in the little children that did not know better. They had not that knowledge. Therefore, they get to go on in, but you're not going to get to go in. Whenever God was going to destroy Nineveh, he sent Jonah there, finally got him there to preach, and they had a revival, 120,000 people in Nineveh, the capital. And Jonah 4:11 says, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons," now listen to the language, "that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle." He's saying, I'm not going to destroy them, and I think he's talking about the little children there. It could be a reference to that. He calls them in the Bible the innocents, the innocent ones. Jeremiah 19:4, "Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto their gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents." The little children, they were offering them as sacrifices. And so he calls them innocents, the blood of innocents. Now, little children are conceived in iniquity. Little children are born in sin. We don't become sinners after we're born and we start sinning. We are sinners. That's why we sin. After we are born, we come to that place where we sin. But God is compassionate. And God knows that these things that happen to these little innocent children who do not know so much right and wrong, that God does not judge these children like he would judge adults, because they do not have that knowledge. And God is compassionate and doesn't judge them that way. And then we notice a second reason, and that is the condition for salvation. The condition for salvation. Whenever we look into the Word of God, we have to understand the gospel and who we are in order to be saved. We have to understand what God is saying. And they don't understand that business at the early age, when they don't have that knowledge of right and wrong. They don't understand accepting the gospel. Acts 16:30, 31, 32, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And then in verse 32 he says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." They did not know the children came out, and they had to hear the gospel, and that way they could believe the gospel. But little children are not like adults who are sinners and they are in rebellion against God. They know they're sinners. They know there's a God, and they are in rebellion against God. Galatians 5 tells us some of the attitudes and some of the practices of those who are adults who are in rebellion against God. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and many things that are like that. Those are pictures of those who are adults, who know there's a God, who are in rebellion against God, and they choose to live that kind of life. They are totally responsible for their sin and for their lives. Ezekiel 18:20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die. And the adults that have that knowledge of right and wrong, they're going to die without the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged accordingly. Now, children don't understand all of that. But thank God, the Bible teaches, I believe, they are protected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The efficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ included them. They cannot reasonably know how to accept or to reject Jesus Christ until they come to that age of accountability, and we'll talk about that a little later. A third reason is, I believe, the compassion of the Savior. I always love to read about the life of Christ. And in reading the life of Christ, it's a wonderful thing to see how much he loved children. Jesus loved little children. And that gives us a clue as to who he really was and his compassion. But he calls them little children. The Greek word is micros. We get our word microphone. They are little children. Matthew 19:13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, suffer, allow the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then he indicates they are little babies. Luke 18:15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he said in Luke 17, verily I say unto you, this is so key, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. We come to the age of accountability, and like a little child who's come to that age, we have to humble ourselves. And then a key verse, Matthew 18:14, even so it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. It is not God's will that one of these little ones, like they were bringing to him, should perish. What about miscarriages and abortion? What happens to those children? And by the way, in the womb, life in that individual has their personhood, and it begins immediately at conception. Right then, they are a person. So what happens to them? Miscarriage and abortion. And by the way, if you've never been involved with someone who has had a miscarriage, you don't realize the impact that has on them. They've lost a child, in a sense, the child, the miscarriage that took place. But where do they go? They go to heaven. They go to be with the Lord. What about an abortion? Those babies that are aborted, they're with Jesus. They're in heaven. That doesn't make abortion right. It's horrible. It's wrong. It's murder. But they go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're here today, some of you ladies who have had an abortion, no doubt, nobody knows about it but maybe you, maybe your husband, maybe your family, may I tell you that if you've asked God to save your soul and forgive you of your sin, you are forgiven even of that sin. It is no longer held against you on your account if you have it under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a horrible thing, but God forgives all sin. Amen? every bit of it. I also would say that those who are mentally impaired, God makes provisions for them. There are some who do not have the mental capacity to understand that they're sinners and Jesus died on the cross for them. There are different degrees of mental impairment, but those that are mentally impaired to that degree, I believe they'll be in heaven. And I believe when they're in heaven and they're given that new body, they'll be just like you and me. God will take care of that. And then I believe because of the child of David. 2 Samuel, you read the story. Some of you know it, maybe for some that don't know it. You remember what happened to David. David saw Bathsheba, and he committed adultery with her. And he found out she was with child. He had her husband killed. He was the king. Terrible, terrible thing in David's life, all of that. And the workers that served him came to him, and he was fasting, and he was praying, and he wouldn't eat anything and all of that. And finally they came to him, and they said, David, the little boy, the little baby's dead. The little baby died. What did David do? Do you remember? He got up and bathed himself and began to eat and went about his business. And they said something like this, we don't understand, David. Your baby just died, and how could you do that? Don't you understand? And here's what he said, 2 Samuel 12:23. But now he is dead. I love this. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? The answer is no. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I believe that David and his son have been reunited in heaven. Amen. But we know that God teaches us in his word, those little children go into his presence. The child of David. And then what about the age of accountability? What is that age of accountability? I can tell you that the Bible does not give us a specific age of accountability. Some of you have children, and maybe as many as two, maybe more, some many more. And you will discover, I think you would agree, that they do not always mature at the same time, the same level. You know, they hit 12, they're mature equally across the board. Each one of them, when they hit 12 years of age or whatever, they're not. Some mature earlier, some later. There are always different degrees of it. They develop differently. They are sinners from conception. All of them are. But thank God, until they come to that age of accountability, that knowledge of right and wrong, when they come to that sensitivity and that realization of it, they are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:16, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And he shows that a child is at the place before they know to refuse evil and to choose good. There is that time of innocency, but the day comes when they cross that line. There are different ages, different ones, but that time comes. That's why I want to encourage you parents, be sensitive to your children. Observe them, watch them, talk to them. They may make a decision when they're very young, and some of them do understand. To some, it may be something that they work out later. It may be, as some Bible preachers that we would respect have said, a pre-salvation experience that leads ultimately to their being born again. I'm not saying that some children are not saved. If they have that knowledge and all of that, they can be. But the precious, sensitive spirit of little children, sometimes they move forward and come forward. They really don't fully understand. Later they get the assurance. Many of you in this building have later gotten the assurance of your salvation. You made a decision of some kind when you were real little, real young, and later you got that assurance. Some of you have been baptized twice because of that, because of getting that assurance, settling it in your heart later on. But we must be sensitive to little children. When they come to that moment of accountability, we have to express understanding. They may get a Sunday school lesson. It may be you talking to them in devotions and all of that. But that moment of accountability comes. And I believe God lets you know that, and that sensibility is there in your soul. We ask the question, when should a child be baptized? Some people ask that question. And I say that it's when they can understand and be able to tell you and explain the gospel, that this is what I did, that I got saved, I was a sinner, I died, Christ died for my sins, was buried and arose, and I believe that. And when they come to that knowledge, then they are candidates, I think, more so then, in the same way with the Lord's Supper. Now, don't be anxious, parents. Don't be anxious about the age of accountability. Don't worry yourself to death about that. Pray about it. Live the right kind of life in front of your children. Be sensitive to the Lord's leading. Listen to His voice. Be very sensitive to that. And then God, who is merciful, will let you know the right timing for your children to be saved. The main thing, parents, listen now, is that you are saved. If you're not saved, how are you going to tell your children to get saved? And how are you going to deal with them properly if you're a lost parent and you're not born again? First thing you need to do is get saved. You cannot impart to them really what you don't have yourself. You need to be born again. Now, here's a question that people ask. How old will children be in heaven? Will there be any children in heaven? Will they remain children in heaven? Or will they be mature adults? Well, I think somewhere along the way, they become adults. Because I think that that is something important. How could they know and enjoy God in heaven if they didn't know Him any more than they did when they were a child? I think those little babies somehow will go into adulthood. And they will know and be able to have fellowship. Revelation, when it talks about all of heaven, talks about the worship that is going on, worshiping God, it implies that there is age in those people who are worshiping God, there is maturity, and it implies they are adults. Some people think that in heaven they will be the age of what we might call perfection in this life. What is that age? Well, most people say that it's 30. Those of you who are 30 are feeling good right now. You said, oh, that's the age of perfection. Those of us who have passed that, we envy you. Some believe that it's 33 years of age because Jesus was 33 years of age in His resurrected body. Perhaps it was that. Now, somebody says, well, what about the little babies in the millennium? Well, there are babies in the millennium. And we know the Bible says in Isaiah 11:8, these words, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Well, we know there'll be little children in the millennium. But the millennium is part of heaven, right? It is attached. There'll be a part of heaven and the new earth and all of those things that will ultimately take place. But I believe they probably grow at that time into maturity. J. Vernon McGee, the old Presbyterian man that we used to all hear on the radio, he's still on the radio, great Bible teacher. Here's a quote from him. He said, I believe with all my heart that God will raise the little ones such that the mother's arms who have ached for them will have the opportunity of holding them. The father's hand, which never held the little hand, will be given the privilege. I believe that little ones will grow up in the care of their earthly parents if they are saved. I don't know if that could be proven. It does sound good, and it does make sense that they would be little children, and then they would grow up. We don't know for sure because the Bible is not crystal clear on that and doesn't say for sure. But here's what we do know. Whatever it will be wholly satisfying. It will be totally satisfying, especially as I'm thinking in these terms of those who have lost little children before the age of accountability, that God has taken on to heaven. Whatever the situation will be, I promise you, it will be wholly satisfying. And families like that family I dealt with the little twins that died, they'll be satisfied when they get there. A mom was talking to an older daughter. Her child had just died. And as she was talking to her daughter, the older sister, she had asked her mother, "Where's my brother, my little brother that died?" And she said, "He's gone to be with Jesus." And she thought about that answer. Later, she heard her mother talking to a friend, and her mother said, "I lost my little child." And the daughter got her mother's attention, and she said, "Mother, is something lost when you know where it is?" And her mother said, "No, darling, it wouldn't be." Then she said, "How can our baby be lost when our baby is with Jesus?" Amen? With Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Will you be in heaven where your baby is? Whether you have a baby or not, will you be in heaven? Will you be in heaven? You are above the age of accountability. Therefore, you are morally responsible to Almighty God. You do not have the automatic privilege of going to heaven. You have to be, as the Bible says, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. Little children who are not of the age of accountability, they don't. They go into heaven. The blood takes care of it. But my friend, let me tell you, you must be born again in order to go to heaven. There is no other way. You must be born again. And what you have to do is accept what God has provided for you through Jesus. And Jesus paid your sin debt. And if you'll believe that and ask Him, He will come into your heart. He will save you. And you too will go to heaven. You will go to heaven. Do you know today that you're going to heaven? If not, when we have an invitation in a moment, step out from where you are and receive Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed just a moment. Dear friend, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, please let us show you how to be saved. Would you do it? Just step out and come. Father, we pray now you'd bless this message. I pray that it has been a comfort to some who have lost little babies. I pray that it has answered some questions that many might have. But, God, I pray that above all things, that those who are not saved would be saved today. And I pray, Father, that Christians who need to do business with you, need to accept your forgiveness, whatever it may be, that they would come and pour their hearts out to you today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy that will save anybody. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. While we sing, will you come? Just step out and come. Trust Christ as your Savior. Don't wait, just come.